Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Good morning. I hope you'll take your Bible and turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We left off yesterday with a discussion of verse 5. Now, to set it in context for those of you who may be joining the broadcast for the first time, we've been looking at the areas of submission that Paul speaks about to the church at Ephesus. You will remember that in verse 8, we've been introduced to the idea of the fullness of the Spirit, or the command to be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 19, and verse 20, and 21, we find three characteristics in a broad sense that are representative of an individual who has been filled with the Spirit. Now, of course, when we talked about this earlier, I believe we are speaking not of an initial filling, but of a continual fullness of the Spirit. And this being manifested then in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things, and verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then when automatically, when people think in terms of submission, their first, I believe, knee-jerk reaction is to think in terms of a woman being in submission to her husband. However, you'll notice verse 21 is not gender-specific. It is rather wide open to both men and women, husbands and wives, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And outside the family relationships, between Christians, he deals with this matter. Now, it begins with the wife's submission to her own husband, as unto the Lord, in verse 22. And then, moving down through the chapter, you remember we deal with the husband being submitted to Christ, and the relationship between a submissive wife and her husband is supposed to be reflecting an illustration, if you will, of the relationship between Christ and his church, which also needs to be in submission to her spiritual head. Now, we have the wife-husband relationship, the husband-Christ relationship. In chapter 6, we move into the parent-child relationship, and now in verse 5, we enter into a discussion of submission on the part of a servant to his master. And we're going to find another one beyond that. But picking up once again with verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. The fear and trembling is not so much, I think, in the context here, related to fear of getting a beating or some harsh discipline, as much as it is an anticipation, an exuberance, a zeal, an enthusiasm to do the will of the Lord, dedicating everything as it is the singleness of the heart as unto Christ. Now, when it talks about fear and trembling, if you've ever watched anyone, well, I won't say anyone because I suppose there are some professionals that are beyond this, but a lot of times you'll notice in a sporting event, most specifically in the Olympics, or for that matter on a more personal level, more localized level, if you've ever watched a young person who's getting ready to compete, you'll notice there is a nervous energy, sometimes even trembling, a shaking of the hands, things of that sort. Not from fear, like, oh my goodness, I'm afraid I'm going to blow it, I'm not going to win, as much as it is, you know, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's do it. an anticipation, a nervous energy that's being reflected in this trembling. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Whether it is a servant obeying a master, a child obeying a parent, husbands obeying Christ, or wives obeying their husbands, the idea underlining each of these relations dealing with submission is as unto Christ, unto Him. Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. All right, now you'll notice, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. It doesn't say, look for a way to slack off. Doesn't imply anything about the unfairness of the situation they find themselves in. Doesn't deal with that at all. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart. Now, singleness of the heart, we're talking here about dedication to the job. We in today's society, in our culture, would have a difficult time, the idea of delivering ourselves 100%, all of our energy, being delivered to the purpose and the objective of getting the job done for some man who is our master. Now, some people get very focused and throw everything into what they do if they're working for themselves or for some goal or some organization that they are a part of, that they're committed to. But the idea of doing it for a master, no. Notice, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. There is a higher master, and that being Christ. And you'll note here that regardless of the circumstances, the Christian who is a slave is involved in, he does what he does, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. Let's face it, how a Christian servant behaved, how he carried out his responsibilities, would reflect directly upon his relationship with Jesus Christ. People watch. Non-believers watch. They scrutinize. They examine carefully. Oh, you might not be aware of it. Sometimes it's, they're sneaking around and watching. But they want to see whether or not you are what you say you are or not. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Eye service, not just when you're watching. Now, while we do not have a system in our culture of slaves and masters, what you're seeing here, a set of a servant and master relationship, could be applied without too much stretching, the relationship between the employer and employee. A man who has hired you, or a corporation, or a company, or however you want to look at it, has hired you, in a sense, is the master, and you are the servant. Now, I'm not going to get into whether or not it's a shop job, whether or not it's been unionized. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I am talking about your attitude giving a full day's service for a day's wage. I have seen people, and unfortunately I've talked to unsaved individuals who work with Christians, or part-time preachers for that matter. They hide behind the term bivocational, and I realize sometimes if a man is called to an area where he is beginning a new work, there's not enough of a base of support to provide for his family, so he does become bivocational. He works part-time to supplement his income so that he can provide for his family and continue to work in building the church too. But there comes a time when the church can support him and ought to support him, in which case then he gives himself 100% to the preaching of the Word of God. He lays down the outside employment so that he can give himself with singleness of heart to the service of Christ. Not with eye service. Now, Some of the comments that I've heard about these bivocational preachers, for instance, men who are unsaved making remarks about them being the laziest characters on the shift. You have to stay on them all the time. They're always goofing off, always sitting down on the job, and they're not giving their real effort to the job. Now, I don't care what the rationalization is in the mind of the individual who's a goof off, but in a very real sense, he is a thief. He is stealing a paycheck. He takes that check, he cashes that check, and in so doing says, I get this money because I have done a good job. A Christian always, always ought to give the best performance of any person on the job. Why? Well, you see it here, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I remember the first time I went to Romania, I went with the local pastor out to a village that before the revolution had been basically it was a collective, a farm, probably, I don't know, maybe 40,000, 60,000 acres in this village. And there were 1,000 people, all of whom, while they lived in the village, and slept in the village, worked in the fields during the day. And before the revolution, the Christians had built a church. They had done so without authorization, proper paperwork being granted permission from the government. They'd gone ahead and built it. And when word got back to the main bosses, they said, well, we can't have that. And so they sent a detachment of the military out, and a convoy pulled up to the gate of the collective, and the supervisor, the guy who was over the entire collective, went out and said, oh, comrade, what is it you're doing here? Because the guy pulled up, he had several convoy trucks or transport trucks with troops in them, and a big flatbed tractor and trailer with a big bulldozer on it. And the guy said, oh, well, we have orders, you have a church here in this village, and it must be destroyed. They built it without permission, and they've got to learn they cannot do this kind of thing. And it was funny, the supervisor said, no, you can't do that. He said, I'd like to know why not. And he said, because, comrade, he said, these Christians, while they are, Christians and not good communists, they do happen to be the very best workers in this collective. They are in the field before sunrise, and they are the last ones out after sundown. They are our best workers. And, comrade, they do not steal from this in the collective. These communists were observing, they were watching, and the testimony of these Christians were on the line. Had they not been the kind of testimony they should have been, of course, their church would have been destroyed. But as it was, the fellow turned around and took his troops and a bulldozer and left. You'll notice it says, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Now, the clock says it's about time for me to sign off, so I'll tie this off. Your testimony is vital, is vital. People are watching, and they need to see Christ in you. That is what the Bible says.